Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, September 2nd, and we're back for the last day this week. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
Are you excited?
That today is the last day of the week?
For us, yes. You are going on a trip.
I am excited, I guess, to go on my trip. I just have a lot to do before I go.
Yeah, a lot of preparation?
Just errands and things.
Things to get out of the way before you leave.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, well, that's cool, you know. My plans for going anywhere were shot because my brother decided to go somewhere. And now when your aging parents are here, it's like having kids. You can't just go, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm left here to take care of them. So.
Well, maybe you should have planned first.
I know. But my brother's like that. You know, they go, they've got RVs and dune buggies and all that stuff. So they travel a lot. But yeah, well, you know, I can't complain. I mean, that's life, you know. But at any rate, so we'll see. We'll try and get a little active here, around here.
Nice.
Yeah. The town will probably be empty, which will be nice, you know, the freeways and stuff. So
yes.
At least that. I remember when we had the 1984 Olympics here. It was in L.A. And everybody was just panicked that this place is going to be like a mess as far as traffic and congestion and stuff. So many people left. They rented out their houses for people that came for the Olympics, and they left. And the funny thing was, the town was the emptiest it's ever been up until that point. So that was very interesting to see. And so it's always like those fears, you know, and they never happen, you know, they never materialize.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing, you know. We don't want fears to materialize, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah. So what's going on? What's going on with the storms in Florida? Anything happening there? Or
I have no idea.
There was a... because you told me they were preparing, right?
Yes, last week.
Last week, okay.
I have no idea what happened since. I don't think it became a hurricane.
Yeah, I'm sure we would have heard of it if it was serious.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. We rescheduled her, and I hope she calls in today. She seems pretty interesting and funny. So we'll see that. Yesterday, we had Carlton Wilburn in the studio. He was fun, huh?
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy.
Yeah, intelligent guy, and he's definitely got a lot of things going on, you know. So that's very cool. Always like to see people moving forward in their lives, you know.
Yes.
When you see somebody and then you see them again, oh, you know, you've evolved.
Right. You know? Did anything he say resonate with you and just your life?
If I remembered what we said, what about you? Did anything touch you there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that I'm going through similar things that he's mentioned he's gone through in terms of like what his true calling is versus what he wants to do and the feeling you get when you know something is off.
Yeah. What do you mean off?
Like you just know that you have like a bigger... you know, a bigger, greater goals.
I see. That you're wasting your time on something else?
No, I wouldn't go that far, Sam. But that you have a bigger calling than what, like, you just set out to do. So, like, you know, we were talking about how dance has always been his calling, but he wanted to act or he wanted to do all these other things. But dance was really, like, what he was passionate about, what he's good at, the through line for everything. So, for me, I think... I have some things like that, you know, in my life that I have to be more aware of. Well, I am becoming more aware of, and those are the things I'm also pursuing more heavily now than I had in the past.
Great. So you're focusing more on what you think your calling is?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
In addition to the other things, because not everything happens at the same time. Some things you need to start brewing, and then they flourish, but... I'm doing everything at the same time. But what I was actually referencing was when I asked you the question was he was saying that you have to like you there's no like you don't have to just be one thing. Like, you sometimes will say, like, oh, well, I'm not good at scheduling. I'm just not that person.
Right.
Like, that doesn't mean you can't then be good at it.
Exactly. So, yeah. You don't have to stay the way you are if you don't want to.
Right.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, and those are choices.
Right.
I think that we make in life. And you're right. You know,
like, your brother made plans to go away, so that means you couldn't. But had you made plans to go away, you'd be going away this weekend.
Possibly. Yeah. It's not for sure, you know.
Well, I guess things do come up, but...
But you're right. You're right. I need to plan in advance for these things because eventualities do happen. Yeah.
And then you can
go
away.
That's true. Okay. So we're learning as we go. I'm always willing to be aware and, you know, and improve and things like that, you know. So, but apparently it must work for me if I'm not doing anything about it, you know.
It what
must
do you
work. I mean, the way I operate, I mean, I'm not really complaining. It's not really hurting my life, you know, the way I conduct
myself.
Well,
you keep saying you want to do things and then, oh, well, and then you don't do it and then, oh, well, what are you going to do?
Right.
But you could do it and then you could go on these cool trips.
Right. Maybe what I like is not having to do something at a certain time, I think. And maybe that's why I do that, because it's like, I figure, okay, if I plan something 2 months in advance, how do I know where I'm going to be that week? How do I know how I'm going to feel? Am I still want to go into that place and so forth? So it's always like a spur of the moment. But, yeah, it doesn't seem to work sometimes, the spur of the moment thing.
No, because then you don't end up doing it.
Right.
And then you haven't gone away in how long.
Right, right.
So.
No, that's true. That's true.
And then you say you need a vacation.
Yeah.
So that is a little bit of a complaint. So maybe you'll re-listen to this.
Is it a complaint?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't feel I'm complaining.
I mean, I don't mind it. It's just, yeah. I feel that if you have all these interests and things that you ideally would like to do, you should do them.
Just do them.
Life is only what you make it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what he was saying, that you have to take responsibility for your life.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, I'm not blaming anyone for my life, you know.
Right.
I've been on my own since I was 16 years old, you know, so I learned to be pretty self-sufficient and responsible and so forth. But, yeah, we have certain quirks, you know, certain idiosyncrasies that sometimes I'm not even aware of it, you know. And then when I think about it, I mean, you're bringing it up and you're making sense, you know. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
I really want to read his books and do his, like, workbooks.
Yeah, I know. If we started reading all the books we get, though, we'd never be done with them, you know.
No, but I mean, there are some that, you know, resonate with me more than others, obviously. So, like, the self-help stuff does. Because, I mean, I wish that I could walk into, like, a machine and it... like diagnose me with whatever would make my life better. So like if it was like you need to read more to have a better vocabulary, well obviously I know that, but like let's just say that was one of the things. Or if it was like you need to meditate 2 times a day for 10 minutes a day and like prescribed you all the things you need to live, you know, a more spiritual life or a more fulfilled life or whatever it is that set you on a path to be even greater than you were today.
Yeah.
I think that'd be so cool.
Yeah. Oh, so a machine that would help you with that.
Sure. But or like a doctor, like, you know, you go to the doctor and then they test all your vitamin levels. You need more of this. You need more of that. You do a yearly physical. I wish there was like a physical for your spiritual.
Right. Huh?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Well, maybe some people can do that, you know, like psychics or something. You know,
I don't know.
No, huh?
No, I think probably a life coach.
But that's the point. I think that's kind of like part of the meaning of life is discovering these things ourselves, you know?
But some people aren't equipped to discover it, so then or self-aware enough to know that they need it.
So then you continue living until you become aware of it.
I guess.
Because I think what happens is when you don't resolve problems, then they keep on coming up all the time.
Right.
They pop up all the time.
They give you opportunities to resolve them. However, a lot of people ignore them.
Right. And they keep on going. You know? Yeah, I agree.
And then a lot of people live in complacency.
Yeah.
Because they don't even know that there's a whole other world out there that they can tap into.
Right.
Or a whole
They're
other
not open-minded enough, maybe.
Right. I mean, then also there's people that do a career their whole life and are never happy.
Yeah.
When they could have been doing all the other things that make them happy that would have then made them a business.
Right. But some people probably don't want to make the sacrifice, you know, and that's the thing. Some people figure, okay, well, I'm into music, but I got to have a day job.
Right.
And, you know, and somehow you just don't have enough time to focus on your music and you're still doing things you don't want to do.
You got to just do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
and not be afraid.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I was reading a post by someone I know, and she had been working at this place for a long time, and they closed it. So they closed it down. So she said that she posted on Facebook, and, you know, she's in entertainment and stuff, and she's always been doing both, you know, having a day job and entertainment. And she said, you know, I'm going to take the plunge and focus only on my entertainment part now. I don't know that I want to take another, like, restaurant job or something.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought, God, that takes a lot of guts to do that. You know, because, I mean, it's like your security blanket and you're willing to give it up just so you can pursue your art full-time. I don't know. I mean,
that's
maybe
what
that's what it takes, right?
I mean, I did it.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, I mean, it's scary because you don't have a security blanket, but at the same time, you have you.
Right. And you are doing what you want to do, and that's probably putting you in a better state of mind.
I mean, it's still stressful because you're like, where is my next paycheck coming from? But at least I know I can do it, and I'm doing it. And I'm proud of myself, and I can look back in the last, I mean, I guess I quit my, like, real day job, like, a year ago.
Right.
And I've sustained my lifestyle for a year.
Wow.
So, and I can mark all of my accomplishments that have happened in that year. And I can be proud of myself.
Yeah.
So if I could do all that in 1 year, imagine what the next year is going
to
be.
Yeah. Makes sense. Hold that thought. Let's go back to it so we can take our guest. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Gareth Foster.
Yes, Gareth. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
How are you all?
We're great. We're great. I was waiting for you to pronounce your name because I wasn't sure how it's pronounced. So I
get that a lot.
So,
that's okay. You know.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
Gareth. Gareth, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes,
okay.
Gareth with the list.
Yeah, you just cut out completely. We didn't hear what you said, so let's try it again.
Oh, I said the easiest way to pronounce my name is Carrot with a lisp.
Okay.
Oh, with a lisp. That's cute.
I try to explain it other ways, and people still screw it up. I'll say it's like Karen and Meredith put together, and then people will call me Karenith. So I'm like, you know, I give up.
Yeah. But that's cool to have a unique name, because then you can have a one-word domain name on the internet.
That's
like
exactly
you do,
what
right?
I have. It's Karenith.com.
There you go.
Because there aren't too many other Karenths out there.
There you go. So you have a unique name in the world, and that must feel great, you know?
It does.
Yeah. So we're talking to Gareth Foster. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm all over the place. But I'm actually calling from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, wow. And what are you doing there? So are you traveling, or is that where you live?
That's where I grew up, but I live in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I am actually home visiting some family. I have a couple speaking engagements. And so that's what landed me here. I grew up in a place called Plano, Texas. If you've heard of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I never heard of that one. But
I have.
You really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I've never been, but I've heard of it.
It's a great place. It's a great place. It wasn't super diverse for me growing up. Like, my senior year of high school, I started in an all-white production of the play A Raisin in the Sun.
<That's>
Two guesses on who the raisin was.
Wow. So at what point did you move to New York City? I mean, you felt, that where you were living was limiting for you?
Well, you know, I always knew I didn't want to live in Texas the rest of my life. I felt this calling to just be in a place that was just different. And I didn't know where I was supposed to go, but New York City kind of found me. And I got a call from my best friend. She's like, you've got to come interview for this job. And I was intimidated by New York. Mm-hmm. But I graduated from school and was kind of looking around. I had gotten a degree in broadcast journalism, and she said, there's a new TV show that's going to start with Barbara Walters. So it's like, you know, Barbara was my idol. How could I pass it up? So I flew to New York. I interviewed. 2 weeks later, I got the job, and I moved, and I started working for The View before it even was known as The View.
Really? So what were you doing there? I mean, they obviously wanted you to move from Texas to do the job. What was it that you did there?
I was part of the production staff. I was a PA, as they're known, but because it was a startup show and we weren't super duper staffed and it was a brand new show, so there was lots to be done, I was, you know, working 14, 16 hour days supporting producers and executive producers and, you know, and Barbara all the way up. So yeah. It was a great time, but it kind of became my Devil Wears Prada, right? Where a million girls would kill for the job, but it wasn't super fulfilling for me.
Right.
And I realized that I had this drive to be more in front of the camera. And to do more. And so I found, there are no accidents, but I met a young girl who worked across the hall who introduced me to stand-up comedy. And I started doing that, and it was like, oh, you know, like the heavens opened up. Oh, and I realized that was part of my calling. And so I started doing stand-up, and it just like was boom, like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then stand-up really is what has become a vehicle for me to do so many other things, from television and, you know, I was on a morning radio show for a few years. I was with Imus after Navigate.
Oh, nice.
And I've done television. I've hosted various things, and now my concentration is on speaking. And I'm a diversity engagement specialist because I think having conversations about the things that are happening in the world with regard to diversity, from racial issues to LGBT issues to even, you know, people who come from different socioeconomic backgrounds, those conversations need to be had, and they're difficult to have for many people. So I use my humor, coming from the comedy, to broach those topics and make it more digestible for everyone.
Right. And everybody loves to laugh, you know, so that
exactly
works very
take
well
the edge off of it. So how did you get into that line of work? I mean, so obviously you speak, but like to become a diversity specialist, how do you go into that?
Well, I think it really has almost been in the making my entire life. You know, I mean, I joked about Plano growing up here, and I was literally the only black person in any of my classes. Basically, my entire education, like from grade school to middle school, high school, even college, and I went to college in Missouri. And while I never felt that I was being treated differently or unfairly, I still saw the effects of being someone who was a quote-unquote minority. And it's an emotional thing, it's an intellectual thing, and that everybody has something. You know, everybody has something that keeps them from sometimes feeling like they completely fit in. And that's part of what my program, Stereotypes 101, talks about, is that it doesn't matter if you've got blonde hair and blue eyes. You may have felt like you're on the outside looking in at times. So my program isn't designed to condemn anyone. It's also not designed to make anybody a victim. It's about saying, hey, listen, we all want three basic things. We want respect, we want acceptance, and we want love.
That's true. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
That's what I want. Yeah. So great. Now, did you ever feel that you had all this humor inside of you? I mean, did you do anything before that had to do with entertaining people, making them laugh?
You know, I always kind of was very... I had keen observations. Like, I was never, like, the class clown. I was kind of a goody two-shoes. In fact, I look back at myself, I'm like, God, I was a bit of a dork. I mean, I was a cool dork. You know, I went to cheerleading camp, but I was also the vice president of the Latin club. Like, I don't think it gets dorkier and cooler than that. But I did always have, you know, I just looked at things differently. And I think that's the gift of comedians, I'll be honest, and humorists, is that we see things differently and we're able to communicate that. Like, I think comics are some of the most intelligent people in the world, whether they have a law degree from Harvard or they only got through the eighth grade.
Yeah.
I think that there's an intelligence that comes along with it and the ability to communicate that. It's just, I mean, you can't buy that.
Yeah. No, it's very hard. I mean, I don't think I could ever, you know, I have no problem with public speaking and or performing mm-hmm. music and things like that, talking to people. But I don't think I could ever, you know, try to make people laugh for like 15, 20 minutes to remember an entire routine, to make sure the delivery is perfect and that you're connecting with the audience. I mean, some people don't realize how tough stand-up is.
It's very hard. But you know what? It's super rewarding. And, you know, I mean, and listen, everybody bombs. I mean, Seinfeld bombs, Chris Rock bombs, but right. there's nothing that compares to the high that you get when you know everybody's with you, when everybody's on the same page, they're laughing at stuff you think is funny, otherwise you wouldn't even be saying it.
Right.
And I was validated years ago when I did a show. It was an all-female lineup, which was fantastic, because I hate when people say women aren't funny, because that's the cross of real life. But this woman came up to us, and you, as everybody else was, oh, you guys were hysterical, and it was great, because it was a show that there was no alcohol, so you know these people weren't even drunk and laughing, like, that made it even sweeter.
Right.
And this woman, you know, we thought she was going to say what everybody else was saying, oh, you guys were great, da-da-da, and the first words out of her mouth were, my son was killed 6 months ago.
Wow.
And we kind of were taken aback, you know, and then she goes, this is the first time I've laughed since.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it gives me goosebumps just to recount that. And,
right.
you know, I'm emotional. I welled up with tears. And I was just like, I was just so grateful that she shared that. And I was validated in what I was doing. I mean, I use comedy to make people feel good. I use it to make people think. And I use it to now, currently, you know, help the world become a better place.
Right. No, I mean, that's absolutely amazing that you're able to do what you love to do. And we were just talking about that before you called. And, you know, as far as you calling and all that. Now, so you're a speaker as well. And so
mm-hmm.
now, so the where do you speak? I mean, do you travel or are you just in New York? How does it work?
I do. No, I am on the road. And my poor babies, my chihuahua and my one-year-old become more frequent flyer miles. I wish I could have them. I speak all over the country. You know, I speak where I'm requested. And I love to travel, fortunately. But I speak at colleges and universities. I have a program called Stereotyped 101, which you can learn about on my website, karith.com, K-A-R-I-T-H. But I've also expanded to speaking at high schools as well, because they need to understand that, you know, they also are worthy of respect and love and acceptance, you know, with their differences when you're starting to deal with that. Right. And then I branched into working with corporations because, again, sometimes the workforce is the first time you're forced, technically, to be with people who you may not have normally been around.
That's
so
true.
You need to understand where other people are coming from. And sometimes you need to be educated on how to respond, how to react, how to ask questions, you know, without being offensive. And it kind of goes all the way around. So everyone needs this education. Everyone needs to have talks about this.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a big topic, you know, especially with the things that are happening in this country. And it seems that so much now is about fear-mongering in the media and just causing more divisiveness, just dividing people based on race or their sexuality or their gender. And I think it's ridiculous. It's laughable, you know, which is why I like to use humor.
Right. Well, you know, that's, and I mean, it's a good idea to start teaching kids early about this, you know, so they can actually mm-hmm. take these social skills with them.
They should probably teach them even earlier, like in school, uh-huh. they should, you know, make that a thing, because these kids form their opinions early on, and, you know, I mean, they think they're pretty mean to each other, and bullying and everything starts very young, too. So to
exactly,
understand
then.
Stereotypes
exactly.
and all of that at a younger age, I think
right.
they might even. But, I mean.
Absolutely. I mean, they say we form our, you know, our ideas about life and people in society basically in our teenage years. So it is crucial to kind of address people at that time, at that very formative time in their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
so that's great that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Cool. So Karith Foster, everybody can check her out and all the other stuff. Karith.com, K-A-R-I-T-H.com.
Mm-hmm.
And do you, obviously, you're on social networks. You can find all the links on your website as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook. I am really bad at Twitter. I'm working on it. And Instagram. It's just, you know what? I only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah, I know. Like, who's got time for that? You know?
Is it really worth me posting a picture of my salad? Like, really? Does anybody care?
Yeah.
No.
Now, I see here also that you're an author. Did you write a book, or are you writing one?
I have. Well, I wrote a book that goes along with one of my speaking programs, which is called Laughter Boot Camp, which I take to organizations and corporations as well to remind people to laugh, to have fun. Just because we're adults doesn't mean we're not allowed to have a good time anymore. And in fact, the more you laugh, the better time you have, the more productive you are.
That's true. Absolutely.
Exactly. So I wrote a book in conjunction with that called Laugh Your Way to Happiness, 101 Ways to Have a Great Laugh. And it's part book, part, you know, workshop, workbook. And then I have a children's book, actually, that I am working on getting illustrated, and it's called Lila Finds Love, and it's based on my chihuahua trying to find romance in New York City.
Cute.
I love that. Yeah, I actually had two chihuahuas a long time ago when I was living with the kids and everything. Before they became like fashionable to have a chihuahua, you know. I'm talking 25 years ago or so, but they're the greatest dogs if you can rein them
in. They are.
You know, I mean,
they are.
They can be wild.
They have a bad rap. They get a bad rap for being, you know, shaky and crazy. But you know what? Here's the deal with that. That's on the owner. You know, my husband and I always said, if the dog is a wackadoodle, look at the owner. The owner's a wackadoodle.
Yeah, I guess you got to train your animals, you know. Yeah. Gareth Foster, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody go to our site. You can check out speaking engagements. And, I mean, so you do this, like what? You have, like, workshops and things like that in different cities?
I do. Okay. I have workshops and I have keynotes. And, I mean, I can tailor based on people's needs. If there's been an issue that's come up with their organization or in their school, I go in and I have breakout sessions. So, you know, I'm kind of a Renaissance woman when it comes to the whole diversity thing. But the point of all of it, again, is to get people to understand we're all coming from the same place. We all want the same things, and we all deserve and are worthy of being treated well.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yes, very true.
And that's a great way to conclude the interview. Kara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're definitely very entertaining, very interesting. And we wish you much more success with your with all your endeavors, a speaker, a humorist, an author, and so many other things that you can bring to the table. And kudos to you for that. You know, I mean, coming from small town with big dreams, and you're making them happen, you know. Garrett?
Thank you guys so much.
Of course.
Thank you.
Take care and all the best to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the connection wasn't perfect on the phone.
No.
I remember when people were still using landlines, everybody would be pissed when you call into a radio show on your cell phone. Today, everybody calls on cell phone, so you can't really complain and say, get on a landline, you know?
Not many people even have landlines anymore.
No, not at all, you know? I don't know why people still do, but they do.
I think for, like, precautionary measures, like, don't they say when there's an earthquake or something, you should have a landline?
Hmm. Would that be more reliable than cell towers, I guess?
Probably.
No. Okay.
What if towers go down?
Right. But phone lines can go down, too.
They definitely can.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, it makes sense, yeah. But
it's an added layer of security.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very interesting that Kareth works with laughter as a remedy, and we had Indy Rishi Singh here, who also teaches laughter as a therapy. And so it's like so many people are studying the same things and doing the same things. I think that it's becoming way more popular to like have other modes of therapy.
Yeah. Because I think people have a short attention span now, you know, and you need to entertain them almost while you're teaching them.
No? That's not what I meant.
That's not what you meant.
No, and she's not saying that. Like, laughter is like a remedy.
Okay.
Not all right. not like making you laugh with what I'm teaching you, but like
okay, just make
laughing. Laugh. Like, remember Indy Rishi Singh said that he does like laughter circles.
Right.
So just laughing as a process
I see.
Makes
okay.
you feel better. You release things.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now I get it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool. And I always admire stand-up comics, you know, because like I told you, there are many things I think I can do, but that's not one of them.
Yeah.
Although it's funny because I just remember that when I was young, I used to do like sketches and stuff from comedians, for friends and stuff. Even in class, I remember I would do that. But I was able to recite everything. It wasn't my humor. So, you know.
Got it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, some people just have that performance, the performer personality in them, and there's nothing you can do to get it out of there, you know.
Well, I find it interesting that she started as a performer and uses her, you know, abilities for good.
Right.
Much the same as our guest yesterday and Kyle Cease, who right. started in comedy and now transformed into a transformative comedian right. and transformational. That these people are using their skills, but they found their true calling and are applying that skill to that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, you know, I encourage everybody to do what they like to do, what they feel good about, because the most important thing, I think, is being able to get up in the morning and looking forward to your day. And if that's not the case for you, you should really re-examine your life and your career, right. I think, you know.
Giving feels really good, so I can imagine why these people go into that field.
Yeah, it does feel really good, you know. I mean, that's one thing we learned in the Kabbalah, the difference between receiving and giving.
Yes.
And I remember we did some exercises and stuff, and it was amazing, you know. They gave us, like, an example of, like, a little game where... first of all, there was a ball, and everybody had to end the game with the ball in their hand, right? Now, and then they did it in reverse, where you're not supposed to end up with the ball in your hand, so you're constantly giving it to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference was when people were trying to keep the ball for themselves, you've seen competitiveness, you've seen anger, you've seen envy, you've seen a lot of different things. They're not really positive.
No.
But when they were trying to give away things, everybody was laughing, and it was just fun, you know, to try and get rid of the ball and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good exercise, you know. I started thinking about that. I thought, yeah, it's a lot more fun to give, you know.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I have a birthday present with me to give my mom when I see her, and I'm like, it's burning my hands. I just want to give it to her now.
Yeah, huh? I know. I know. I love getting things for other people and stuff. Yeah. All right, well, let's see what else is going on in the world. Taylor Swift is being accused of, get this, channeling colonialism.
Colonialism?
Colonialism.
Why?
In her new video. Because it has something to do with Africa. Let's see. I don't know, Jen. I mean, even the explanation is not that clear for me here. That it's just that, you know, they have a clip that's set in Africa. It's about as white as a Sunday morning farmer's market, somebody said. And, you know, so they're saying there's racism in there and everything. But, come on, I think people are taking it too far. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should watch the video and see what they're talking about, you know. They have it here. Obviously, we can't really play it on the radio. You won't know what's going on. But it's like controversy everywhere, you know? I mean, everybody gets offended by something, and it's tiring to just hear that all the time. You know, I'm offended by this, I'm offended by that. It's like, okay, so we'll adjust the world just the way you want so you won't be offended. You know, I mean, come on, what is this? So, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not offended by a lot, but the point of the video too is that it was shot in that park in Africa,
Which park?
I don't know. It was shot somewhere, and the proceeds of the video go to conservation efforts through the African Parks Foundation of America. So there's like a good proceeds go somewhere. That is not to Taylor Swift. Like, it goes to the park. Like, let's focus on that, I think, versus any kind of racism or, like, stereotypes that she might have used.
And people are looking for that.
I highly doubt that she even was aware of anything that these people are even saying.
Right. So. No, that's true, you know. But, and also people, you know, all these people have, like somebody said, oh, she's very smart in business and everything. And she may be, you know, but she's young and inexperienced still. And I think most of these people, they need to be surrounded by smart people who will help them make decisions. And sometimes, you know, I mean, even in politics, they make stupid decisions sometimes. But I don't know what, I think at a certain point here, if there was anything racist about it, she probably would have realized. She probably would have stopped and said, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah.
But she took on the project. I can't imagine. So, yeah, it's just people always cause trouble.
There's a lot of talk about racism in the news right now, with Kelly Osbourne and what she had said about in response to Donald Trump calling, you know, Hispanic people killers and rapists. And she said, well, if you get rid of them all, like, who's going to clean your toilets?
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
But, like, you know, the issue is now, like, okay, you're making these comments. People make them all the time. And then they either get fired or they pretend to resign or whatever happens in terms of, like, celebrities in the public eye. Like, what if somebody was just like, yeah, I made a racist comment?
Yeah. Well, nobody wants to be considered racist.
No, but, like, just because you make a racist comment doesn't also mean you as a person is, like, you're racist. It could also be an observation. It could be whatever it is. It could be, like, a tort. Like, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily racist. Mm. I mean, I comment on stereotypes all the time.
Right.
Be it about me or anybody else. I named myself Jen the Jew on Instagram. Like,
right. That
doesn't mean I'm racist.
Exactly.
I don't dislike anyone, but I can tell you there are stereotypes about certain people that are true.
Yeah.
In one way or another. And it also doesn't mean for the entire population, but some people hold those characteristics. Right. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me racist. It makes me observant.
Right. And that's the thing. You know, I mean, there's too much sensitivity going on, I think. And that's why I think Donald Trump is standing out from the crowd, because he's not like that, you know. And, you know,
I think there's softer ways to say things, but at the end of the day, like, also, am I racist for saying that, like, serial killers are usually white, like, white men?
Right. If that's an observation, I think that's a thing, you know. I mean,
and also, there's statistics.
It's your opinion, right?
I mean, it's not my opinion.
No,
statistics.
But it can even be your opinion, and it's not a racist thing,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you see, like, women running around killing people? Like, I mean, right. They kill their husbands and stuff, but, like, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of, like, women serial killers.
Right.
And there's not a lot of, like, black serial killers. I mean, there's been, like, a couple in the news recently, like the sniper and whatever. But those are statistics. So I think to, like, it's one thing if you hate people because of whatever it is. That's a different thing. That's fine. That's racism, and you can call that racism. But other people that are just making off, like, beat comments, I don't know. Like, then there's...
No, you're right. Because, look, I agree with you. I think racism is about elevating yourself compared to other people. And you put them down, and it makes you feel better. Because otherwise, I don't know why people would be racist, you know, other than thinking they're less than I am, you know. And it just, you know, it... Yeah, so I don't think it's racist if you're just making comments that have to do with certain things. I mean, you know, some like, for example, I'm thinking about this Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And now somebody came out with All Lives Matter. But the organizers of Black Lives Matter don't care for that, you know. So now there's a whole, like, controversy about, you know, you're saying this, I'm saying that, you know. And you know, I mean, people say things, I can understand what's going on, but I don't get easily offended, because I don't think that my standards should be necessarily other people's standards, you know. They can say whatever they want, I can choose to turn it off or confront it.
Okay.
All right. Google's got a new logo. Did you see it?
Yep.
Looks pretty cool, but why would they need to? They're saying it's like They redesigned it with mobile devices in mind. But come on, all they did is change the font. They kept the same color and everything. And they must have paid millions of dollars for someone to come up with that.
Maybe, or maybe they did it in-house.
Even that, it would still have cost a lot of money, I think, to just come up with that, because that's just how things work with big corporations.
I mean, their logo to me is so elementary. Like, I just don't care for their logo.
Yeah.
And I don't get why are there, like, two blue letters and two red letters, and then one yellow and one green. Mm. Why not other letters? I mean, colors. Like, why not a purple?
Yeah. Well, they're like primary colors, mostly, yes. Right? Yeah.
But I don't know. I think their logo is boring. Mm. So for them to just change it that little amount, I think is silly.
But some logos, you know, the companies don't want them to distract. They just want them to be very simple. And, I mean, you know, how many logos really are just text, you know? But at least some text is graphically designed and stuff. But I don't know. I guess, you know, some logos work with just letters, and they work just fine. So,
did they say why they changed it? You said because the mobile devices in mind?
Yeah, mobile devices
in
mind.
That's the only reason?
The only thing I can think of is it was a serif font, and now it's a sans serif font, you know, where it doesn't have the little tails on the end.
Right.
And that's it, you know.
I mean, it's a little bit hipper because of the serif, but like...
Right, but yeah. But, I mean, this font is more modern, obviously. I don't know which one they used. It looks more modern and everything, so I guess okay. I don't have a problem with companies updating their logos, but how much are you going to spend on that? I mean, you can sit at home and do this, you know, just change the different fonts until you find one that you like. But there must be some thinking behind it, I'm sure. Some people are earning a lot of money saying that, we really need to think a lot about the logo. You know, people hire consultants and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would love to know in the next year if their revenue changes one iota because of the logo.
Right.
Probably we'll see. Good.
Yeah. I doubt it. this Houston teen, I guess, was taking a selfie with a gun. And he shot himself accidentally and died. Because he aimed the gun at his throat, I guess.
Yikes.
I know. I mean, I don't know how these accidents happen. I mean, also like with little kids and stuff. Because who keeps a loaded gun at home? I mean, you know?
I still want to know what happened in that story we talked about the other day about the little 2-year-old that apparently shot his dad.
Right.
Says the wife.
Right. And that's happened several times, you know. I mean, that's not just the first time. That's why I'm bringing it up, because I remember the past year I talked several times about these things. And people are just killing themselves accidentally. And I don't understand why guns are just lying around. I mean, if I had kids around, if I had anything, I would just keep it locked up, you know? I mean, that's not... You don't just... And not only that, but the guns are loaded, too.
Right.
I mean, you're taking a selfie with a gun. Why would you... You know, how could it be loaded? So they're investigating, but CNN claims that investigators told... And that's investigators with an apostrophe S. Investigators told KPRC that Smith's cousin was in another room. Investigators with a...
I know. Even CNN makes a...
Everybody makes typo. These mistakes, yeah.
That annoys me.
I know. How do I even notice that? You know, I go through things so fast. But, you know, I guess when you read, you just sort of like have a photographic memory of the words. So when a word doesn't look right, you immediately notice it. I think, I don't know, that's the process with me. But sometimes it bothers me. I'm like, why should you care? You know, just move on with this.
Well, I'll tell you why it bothers me.
Yeah.
Because somebody was paid to write that, and they were paid good money.
Yeah.
And they work for CNN.
Yeah.
And there's a level of standard there. Like, if CNN is misspelling things or typing, like making typos, and that's where people get their information from, how are other people going to learn from that?
Right. And plus, it's awkward and confusing. I mean, look, it's like I had to reread it three times to understand what it said because they had the apostrophe S there. I'm like, are they talking about one investigator or a lot of investigators?
And what is the investigator owning that it's his possession? Apostrophe S.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing.
Is it his case? And that's what it... I mean, now we're just going on a grammar lesson.
Yeah, no, that's not the case.
Speaking of grammar, so there's new words that were added to the dictionary this year. And they just added another round of, like, 100 words. So Lauren and I, on our Two Drunk Girls episode that comes out tomorrow, we discuss many of the new words that have been added and what they mean and why the hell they're even part of the list.
Yeah.
Because they added them to the list because these particular words are apparently going to stand the test of time, which I don't necessarily agree with on some of the words, but we'll see what happens.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, what's one word? Give us a preview of one word that you don't agree with.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that one has not been around since who knows how long.
No, it's not that it's been around. It's that it's going to stand the test of time.
Right, but don't they... But, I mean, they usually adopt words that are commonly used, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Okay.
That is commonly used.
Really?
But why it should be part of the dictionary and how it's any different from the word okay,
yeah,
other than a letter, and now they're just synonyms, makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
How big is this book going to be?
Yeah.
This dictionary is going to go on for days. Well, I guess it's the online dictionary, so it can be as big as it is. But that's one. Another one is rando.
Rando?
Yeah.
What's that?
Random.
Oh, really? So people say rando?
All the time. I've been saying it for years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
There you go.
There you go. Okay. I never say okay.
Well, plenty of people do.
Oh, man.
There's also words like Brexit. That's a British exit. And Grexit.
Okay.
A Greek exit.
I've heard of Grexit because of the economic thing that they were talking about.
Yeah, I've never heard those. And when I say something about exiting, I'll say, like, I'm going to make a French exit.
Right.
Which just means I'm not going to say goodbye to anybody. I'm going to be rude and go and not say goodbye. Same thing with, like, an Irish exit, but I've never heard of, like, a combined word.
Yeah.
But here they are. They're now part of the dictionary.
Yeah. Well, interesting, you know.
There's others.
I mean, yeah, I mean, because they've added slang and stuff over the years, too, where they didn't used to before.
WTF is part of it. But that's not new. They've added that already.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of it, I guess, comes from texting and emails and things like that, right? From the technology.
I don't know. But people using them, I think that's how they come about.
Do they have LOL?
I think that has been added already.
Yeah. You see, so those are like, So they become words, I guess.
Yeah.
Very interesting, yeah. Where I find, like, the weirdest words is in Words with Friends. And, you know, sometimes just some words, it's like you can't believe that these words exist.
Well,
they have
there
words
are,
from other languages and stuff, too.
Oh, weird. That, I mean, I think at least stick with one language if you're going to play Words with Friends.
Right.
But there's got to be some kind of basis from which you're, you know, drawing on words. But so there are words like chefy, to be like a chef.
Okay.
That words that end in Y now.
Right.
Like just adding the Y to a word that already exists. Like,
right.
So your attribute is like chef-like.
Right.
Like
they used to do with ish, right? Like noon-ish and I'll see you seven-ish, whatever.
Sure.
Right.
So yeah, it's adding the Y to something.
Yeah.
that makes a whole new word.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's true. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. We get a little break from talking every morning. We're still going to be able to talk a lot, I'm sure, but we take a little break. And everybody have a wonderful holiday weekend. We're going to be back here, Tuesday, right?
Yep.
Okay. So have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.